guys were speaking about what they experienced when they were in Holland. But one of the main things everything goes about is God. See, and in this time, it was different food and different circumstances and different times of traveling. And I tell you what, one thing the kids did really miss was their parents driving them around. Because it's not fun sitting on those buses and people walking past you, and it's on those bikes and people walking past you, and you're not sure exactly where you're going on your wrong side of the road. So you're totally out of your comfort zone. But these kids did really well. They did really well. But in all of this, God still saw our hearts, you know. And He wants to see our hearts every single day, every single person. And it's not just about the youth. It's also about, like they said, older people are also welcome to come. And if you are a part of this church, or even if you're not, I want to encourage you to make a point to go to a nation. I want to encourage you, even if it's not a nation, to go to visit another church with one of the leadership in this church. I want to encourage you to go to a different city with one of the other people in this church and just to go and visit other churches. See, God does something in our hearts when we do that. God loves His church. His church is His a plan, and there's no other plan. So I want to just piggyback on what they shared on this thing and try to make a point. We've got next weekend, we're going up to Dundee. If you want to come along, speak to me. We got guys going up for Jesus Culture, the 28th. We got the ladies meeting. Malcolm and them are going to Dundee again in October. There's plenty of opportunities to go to different places for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to establish that culture in our lives. It took one trip to a different church with one of the leaders in the church I was in, and that just unleashed a lot of other things in my life. So I just wanted to just bring that out. So something of what this trip was all about for us as Regenerate, as you can see our t-shirts, wasn't to just look good in t-shirts, but was to go and establish something that God is showing us in His Word. You see, as young people, we get easily disqualified. You see, we live in a society where they see young people, they just see problems and they see challenges. You see, we have given up on our youth in this society. We see them as troublemakers and burdens. But that's not what God has on His heart for youth.
That's right.
He died for all people, young to old, and in between. You see, we live in a society where people think church is just for the young kids, the wee ones, or just for older people. And the in-between can just live their lives as they need to. Jesus didn't do that. He died for all people, and He wants all people to live in the fullness that He has for us, that He released by Jesus Christ on that cross for our lives. Amen? See, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says the following in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And that is something that our youth from this church went and saw the youth in that church do. And they saw, and the guys from there saw something of our youth living in that. And that is something, it says to believers, very interesting. It's not just to the world, but it's also to other believers that we need to be examples of these things. And through everyday life. You see, you can look at the Old Testament and you see guys like Joseph. How Joseph was sold by his brothers, threw into this pit, then sold. Eventually, God came and He made him the overseer of the captain of the guard of Egypt. And he was 17 years old. You get a guy like David that took out a giant where the whole of Israel, thousands upon thousands of men and women, the whole of Israel didn't see chance to beat one man. A 13-year-old boy went up and he took him out by the help of God. We see the disciples. They reckon that most of the disciples were under the age of 20 years old. Only Peter was a bit older. I reckon some of them are maybe still younger. Do you think the religious people and the rulers of that day for that this bunch of young guys would turn the world upside down like they did. They gave them no chance. They told them to shut up and stay out of our business. But Jesus, he has different plans. See, God loves the youth. He wants to regenerate the youth. Right. He wants to revive the youth. He wants the youth to step forward. Yes. You see, there's something that happens when God gets hold of your heart. Let me just get this. I updated to iOS 7. It sucks. Sorry. Sorry, just edit that. You see, Paul, he's writing this letter to another young man called Titus. And he's writing this letter to Titus and he's giving him a whole bunch of information in a very short letter. You can read Titus like just on an afternoon cup of tea. But there's so much wisdom and insight into that book. And a lot of people think, well, Titus is just like tasks and points for eldership. But there's a lot more. There's points of having a sound church. You see, in that thing of being a sound church, he speaks to older women, he speaks to older men, younger women, and younger men. He tells them that they need to live an example, a pattern. It's not just be an example and stay an example. And then now and then you can just swerve off this. He says, no, you should have a pattern of this being an example. He says, in all your conduct, be an example. He says, but, and then he reminds them in Titus 3, he tells Titus, if you can go to Titus 3, verse 3. He says there, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You see, nobody is born perfect. Nobody arrives out of the womb a saint. There's no person like that except for Jesus Christ that walked on this earth. No person. But something has to happen for us to live in a way to be free of all those things that I just read. It goes on to verse 4. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, so no works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Malcolm's going to later on preach about this passage more in depth. But something that we can learn out of this thing that he's telling him to be examples of. In chapter 2, he says, we need to be examples of good works, of integrity, of reverence, and in sincerity. And that is something that the youth saw in Utrecht. From a bit older youth, they saw something of that, of sincerity, serving. Man, I tell you what, one thing I can take my hand off for those guys and I can learn from them, they do everything with a smile. Everything. Because there's just so much joy in what they are doing. They're living in that fullness that God has given to them by His grace. You see, it shouldn't be a burden for us. It shouldn't be a thing of working towards this thing. We should receive it and live in it. See, when God's grace appeared to us, not by anything that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through that regeneration. You see, that word regeneration is a lot deeper than we think it is. It's a lot more to what Jesus did on that cross than we actually realize. See, when I got saved, I thought I chose Jesus. But as I'm reading this Bible, I actually discover that He came and He saved me.
That's right.
He came and He took me out of this hole that I was stuck in my life. I was unsatisfied with money, with pleasures of this world. But Jesus came and He ripped, Lord, I don't want you. He said, no, come here, my boy. I want to love you. I said, Lord, I don't want this. I said, come here, I want to give it to you. I was rebelling. I said, no, God, nothing. He says, come here, I want you. That is how he feels about us. He will fight to the point of the cross for you and for me so that we can live in this fullness and this freedom that he has for us. Do we believe this, church? We should start living in this. You see, God is not a God that does anything half measures. That is why he's God. That word regeneration, if you go look at it, and the Greek meaning says it's a new birth, a reproduction, a renewal, recreation, the production of new life, consecrated to God, a radical change of mind for the better. It says the word often is used to denote the restoration of things to its pristine estate. Have you ever got a car from the garage that has been, like from a body shop, that's been in an accident? Sometimes you take it into the garage, you get it fixed. Still, you can see where they fixed it. You can see where the accident was. It's not always 100%. You see, with God, it doesn't work like that. That car gets pranked. It goes into Jesus' garage. He brings it out. It's pristine. Like it's brand new, factory made. When God gets a hold of us, he makes us pristine. It says here, as a renewal or restoration after life, after death. So it's like you were dead, but now you are alive. Reborn. And that's what we, from Capital City Church International, want to show the world out there. That the youth of this nation and the youth of Europe is reborn. And we want to get these guys that are in the church to understand what Jesus has placed inside of their hearts. And for those who do not know him, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. See, when we live as that reborn, regenerated Christian, we're going to stay away from all these lustful things of the world. But we are going to desire the purest of the pure. We're going to desire Jesus Christ and the things that is upon his heart for this nation. See, God wants to bring his kingdom. You can either be against it or for it. I want to be for it. Just seeing if you're listening. So let us turn away from foolish, disobedient, deceiving, following, lustful ways. And let us follow the true prince on a white horse, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, I want to play for the winning team.
That's right.
And I want to see these kids that the society has turned their back on playing for that same team.
That's right.
So if you are for that, I want to ask you to stand up now. And let's just glorify, if we can maybe just worship. Let us just glorify our God, you know, and start crying out for this nation. I want to see a generation, and I believe that's our leadership from this church, and this church mission is that as well. We want to see a generation that will turn this city, this nation, Europe, upside down for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Not to be reckless, but to be radical for Jesus Christ.